Ghost. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Good morning, friends. Good to see you all today. Thank you for joining us. You're here in person, like some of our friends who've returned back to town, like Miss Tanya Bennett. We're so glad to see you again here in town. Or if you're watching online, thanks for joining us that way as well. We hope that however you find yourself today, you will be blessed by the Spirit and presence of God. Now's a great time to grab some of these cards that you see up on the screen, those blue ones letting us know you're here, yellow ones, send out some encouragement to folks. Those pinkish ones, if you have anything on your heart that you want our shepherding team to pray over. Also, if you're watching online, now's a great time to get communion supplies ready. Bread, juice, wine, water, whatever you're using is just fine. We'll do that a little bit later in our service today. We're so glad that you're here. Thanks again for joining us. Cora is going to come light our Christ candle to remind us that Christ's presence is indeed with us wherever and whenever we are. Our psalm today, I will ask you to stand, and let's remain standing for the couple of songs that follow. Our psalm comes from Psalm 42, starting in verse 1. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me all day long, "Where is your God?" These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One with shouts of joy and praise among the festive crowd. Why, my soul, are you so downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God. For I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God.
As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. I want you more than gold or silver, only you can satisfy. You alone are the real joy giver and the apple of my eye. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord, a wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of a rock, where rivers of pleasure I see. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love and covers me there with his hand. And covers me there with his hand. How wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. He taketh my burden away. He holdeth me up and I shall not be moved. He giveth me strength as my day. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love and covers me there with his hand, and covers me there with his hand. When clothed in his brightness, transported, I rise to meet him in clouds of the sky. His perfect salvation, his wonderful love, I'll shout with the millions on high. He hideth my soul in the cleft of a rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love and covers me there with his hand. And covers me there with his hand. Let's be seated.
Our prayers today, we will pray in silence. There are three specific things that I will lead you through as we spend some time in prayer. I will share those while our time of silence goes on. So first, let's just center ourselves and move into silence for a moment, and I will start speaking these three things one after another. Let's do so now, please. As things begin to bubble up within us, O God, we pray collectively and in silence, first of all, for prayers for this world that we find ourselves in. Second, we offer up prayers for this church and for the people sitting all around us. Into these two prayers, we join a third, which are prayers for ourselves. We entrust all these thoughts, all these prayers to you, O God. We give you thanks. It's through Christ we pray and do all things. Amen. Our prayer also leads this morning into our call to discipleship. Once again, I will read the part that says, "Reader, if you, my friends, will join in the part that says, all." After this, we'll sing one more song, and then Ford will come up and read our text for today. Jesus called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it."
Majesty, worship His Majesty. Unto Jesus be all glory, honor, and praise. Majesty, kingdom, authority, flow from His throne unto His throne, His anthem raise. So exalt, lift up on high the name of Jesus. Magnify, come glorify Christ Jesus the King. Majesty, worship His Majesty. Jesus who died, now glorified, King of all kings. Jesus who died, now glorified, King of all kings. Worship His Majesty. Unto Jesus be all glory, power, and praise. Majesty, kingdom, authority, flow from His throne unto His own, His anthem praise. So exalt, lift up on high the name of Jesus. Magnify, come glorify Christ Jesus the King. Majesty, worship His Majesty. Jesus who died, now glorified, King of all kings. Jesus who died, now glorified, King of all kings.
Morning, church. I'll be reading from Mark 6, verses 45 through 56. Immediately, Jesus made His disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of Him to Bethsaida. While He dismissed the crowd after leaving them, He went up on a mountainside to pray. When evening came, the boat was in the middle of the lake, and He was alone on land. He saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. Shortly before dawn, He went out to them, walking on the lake. He was about to pass by them, but when they saw Him walking on the lake, they thought He was a ghost. They cried out because they all saw Him and were terrified. Immediately He spoke to them and said, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." Then He climbed into the boat with them, and the wind died down. They were completely amazed, for they had not understood about the loaves. Their hearts were hardened. When they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret and anchored there. As soon as they got out of the boat, people recognized Jesus. They ran throughout the whole region and carried the sick on the mats to wherever they heard He was and wherever He went. Into villages, towns, or countrysides, they placed the sick in the marketplaces. They begged him to let them touch even the edge of his cloak, and all who touched him were healed.
Thanks, Ford. Let's pray together, please. Oh God, would you pour forth through me the gift of preaching today? Give us ears to hear and eyes to see. It's through Christ we pray. Amen. Onward we go through the book of Mark, one story after another, one teaching, then a next, one miracle following the last. Mark does not really allow us to stop and stare at the story before us for too long. He's like a tour guide on a strict schedule. He's like Willy Wonka, preoccupied with 100 thoughts and frantically eager to move on to the next room, while all poor Augustus Gloop wants to do is slow down and drink from the chocolate river. You can always jump off the Markan train, of course, to sit and stay a while, eating the nice picnic lunch that Jesus himself so graciously provided. Nothing wrong with that. We as a congregation did that last Sunday, hearing testimony and giving our own. But before we knew it, the 12 disciples were clearing our plates and boxing up the leftovers, and it's on to the next scene, which happens immediately, according to Mark. Immediately, Ford just read to us. As soon as the meal is finished, Jesus makes his disciples get into a boat and go on ahead of him to Bethsaida while he dismisses the crowd. I'm sure the disciples wondered how Jesus was going to get to Bethsaida since he is not getting into the boat with them. And maybe Jesus says something like, "Y'all don't worry about it. I'll meet you there. Have a great time." All Jesus wants to do now is to leave, to head where no crowds are watching his every move, where no one is clamoring for his attention, where no one needs him or can find him. He slips away, leaving people and ministry behind. He heads up to the mountains and he prays. He spends time alone with God. He has been waiting for this moment. After the beautiful, good, rich, hope-filled work that he's done, the healings, the teachings, the discipling, remember how he had told the 12, "Come away with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." Interrupted from the possibility of that retreat, though, he taught and served even more to great results. All the while, in a text that we did not mention right before the feeding of the 5,000, we learn that John the Baptizer, Jesus' friend and forerunner and cousin, is dead. John was ruthlessly slain out of spite, his body, most of it at least, now in a tomb. Though lugging around that death in his soul, Jesus has had no time and no space to grieve, to mourn for the dead who did not need to die just yet. After sending everyone away, he escapes finally to pray, his heart simultaneously full and heavy. Many of you have been there before. When Jesus is ready to rejoin his disciples later that night, the boat is already in the middle of the lake. The seafarers are struggling mightily at the oars because a fierce wind is blowing directly into their face. With no outboard motor, the disciples make no headway. I don't think this wind is as intense as the furious squall, the one that we learned about in chapter 4, the one where Jesus fell asleep in the back of the boat, but who knows? Regardless, the wind is strong to the point that the experienced boatmen are fighting a losing battle. They are in the middle of nowhere, going nowhere, and the fact that it is roughly 4 o'clock in the morning tells us that they've been straining for hours. The word for straining there in Greek signifies physical torment or torture. There is actual agony rippling through their arms and backs and spirits, but stopping means that their tiny boat would likely capsize. Jesus, with eyes sharper and clearer after his time on the mountain, sees the disciples and their struggles, and he goes to them. Depending on how you read the Bible, how Jesus gets there is either a source of delight or disbelief. He walks on water. It's downright incredible and implausible. Something that, sure, we've seen Elsa from Frozen, the Frozen movies, do 100 times over, but animation and flesh and bone are different animals altogether. Jesus steps onto the water and does not sink. Simple physics and weight distribution don't allow for such a leisurely pace. Yet here it is, the story handed down to us throughout generations. Whatever your view of miracles in general or this one in specific, delight or disbelief are not the only possible reactions. Sometimes the story is used as a disparaging comparison. When someone gets caught making a foolish mistake, they say, "I can't walk on water, you know," which is just a sly and silly way of justifying their behavior. What do the disciples do, the ones who are actually witnesses? Do they delight or disbelieve? Do they make disparaging comments? None of those. They respond with dread. Jesus was about to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the lake, they thought he was a ghost. They cried out because they all saw him and were terrified. Based on the disciples' response, you'd think we were watching a horror film. Not necessarily a swamp monster, but definitely a beastly creature of the deep, a sea demon, a phantom of the night that confirmed all the scary stories that teenagers once told to them as children around the campfire. I told you near the beginning of this Mark series that Cora and I read through this gospel earlier this year. When we came to this story, it's another section that she and I just laughed at. Nothing like what the disciples did, because there's Jesus taking a little stroll on the top of the lake, waving lightheartedly to the frightened disciples as he meanders on by. "Howdy, fellas. See you on the other side." It's a comedy, not a horror. It's actually neither. It's a theophany, which is just a fancy word for a visible manifestation of God to humankind. In other words, God shows up. To be more specific, this is a Christophany, since it's Christ Jesus whose presence is displayed. Viewed under this spotlight, the whole "he intended to pass by" them makes a little bit more sense, because in the Hebrew scriptures there are 2 significant pass-by moments. Let's take a look at them. I'm looking for 2 people to read, please. Both of these texts have 2 slides on them. I'm going to put them up right here. Here's a green microphone that King is going to turn the volume up on. I'm looking for 2 folks. If you're willing to read one of these, then you can just come to the microphone. Glenn's got that first one. Glenn, there are 2 slides here. This one is from Exodus 33. Go for it.
"Then Moses said, 'Now show me your glory.' And the Lord said, 'I will cause all my goodness to pass before you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But, he said, you cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live. Then the Lord said, there is a place near me where you may stand on a rock. When my glory passes by, I will put you in the cleft of the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand and you will see my back, but my face must not be seen.
Thanks, Glenn. Someone else jump up there for 1 Kings 19, please.
The Lord said to Elijah, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came the sound of sheer silence. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave.
Thank you, Lily. That's beautiful. Glenn, thanks also. Moses, afraid, leading the Israelite people alone, begs God to go with him. God agrees and passes by Moses near Mount Horeb to prove it. Theophany. Elijah, fearing for his life, flees to a cave out at Mount Horeb. God orders Elijah to stand up because God is about to pass by. Theophany. Jesus, from the mountain where he prayed, intends to pass by his dread-filled disciples in a miraculous, incredible, implausible way. Christophany, a manifestation of Jesus' divine presence. He passes by not for a good laugh or hoping not to get noticed. Jesus passes by his disciples just as God passed by Moses and Elijah in order to reveal himself to them. Jesus, in full translucent transparency, is showing them who he is. The same God who hideth Moses' soul in the cleft of the rock, the same God who arrived not in cliff-shattering natural phenomenons, but in the purest of quiet, is the same God who strides lightly and with intention upon the water's surface in a weight of glory that leaves witnesses petrified. The biggest difference, of course, between Moses' and Elijah's experience and the disciples' experience is that the God who passes by in Revelation keeps on going. God's lingering presence will have to be enough for those two. With the disciples, though, God in divinity passes by as well, but then in humanity gets into the rocking boat with them. Take courage. It's me. Don't be afraid. Jesus says, and the wind, it dies down, the seas calm, the tiny thud of small waves lapping against the side of the vessel. I would have loved to have been a fly on the stern of that boat to see what had happened next, because I'll bet you that Jesus laughed, his eyes dancing. How fun was that? Whether Jesus climbing aboard eventually makes the disciples laugh too, I don't know. Their main reaction is astonishment. They are astounded and amazed. Their brains cannot quickly process this information, the sights and the sounds, too much. What just happened here? Their hearts apparently cannot catch up either. Mark links this walking on water story to the feeding of the 5,000, saying that the disciples still did not understand the significance of the miracle of the loaves, and that the divine passing by didn't help as maybe it should have. Their hearts were too hard to take it in, which means they failed to recognize who this Jesus is, even though they have golden opportunities every single day. Not that we can criticize the disciples too much, because how many feeding occasions have we had and not recognized the face of Christ there among the crowd? How many Christophanies have passed by us, but we were too busy or distracted looking the other way? How many manifestations of God have flustered us because it didn't fit our preferred set of ideas when wrong people in wrong places were involved? The section ends not with the intended target of Bethsaida at the northeast side of the lake, but at Gennesaret on the northwest side of the lake. Perhaps the winds blew them off course. But landing in the wrong spot turns out to be the right move. It's a piercing analysis of the situation. Common people throughout that region recognized Jesus right away in a way that his own disciples could not do. To be sure, they, as most people Jesus meets in Mark, are looking for a miracle, but there's no negativity here against that mindset. The neighbors and the neighborhoods are in need, and they run to him. They carry sick family members on stretchers. They hoist their desperately ill friends onto their backs and hightail it to wherever Jesus is, in the marketplaces, in urban centers, in the village suburbs, in the rural countryside. Even those who contacted the edge of his cloak, Mark says, all who touched him were healed. The word there for healed is the word sozo, which can also mean save. Even those who contacted the edge of his cloak and all who touched him are saved, rescued, made whole by his divinity and his humanity. I had a conversation with someone this last week who, because of ongoing cancer treatments, half jokingly told me that they don't much care for the "don't be afraid" statements in the Bible anymore. Makes sense to me, and I don't blame that person at all for saying such things. Fear is as real as cancer is. And telling someone not to be afraid is like telling them not to breathe. Many of you are facing your own health battles, straining at the oars of your days just to keep yourself afloat. Others of you have friends or family who are sick or ill, physically, mentally, or otherwise. The prayer mats you carry them on are heavy with alarm. Walking into schools can cause fear. Walking without a friend can too. Facing uncertainty, facing deadlines, facing enemies, facing up to your own sin, facing death, fear all. Don't be afraid as a first responder can sound overly casual and indifferent. So let's start at the other end of the sentence and work our way down. Take courage. It takes guts to believe in God's continuing goodness, especially if remedies do not come the way you hope. Wind swept and tossed about, have the audacity to hope anyway. Hold on to faith as you can. Bravely trust that the active Spirit blows wherever the Spirit pleases, and God is pleased with you. It is I, not someone else, not something else, not a specter or an illusion, not a false prophet or a glitzy preacher, not a statue or a memorial, not a pocket protector or a member of the spiritual hall of fame, not a dangerous version of him that his church people often peddle. It is I, Jesus, incarnate of God, the one who knows your inmost being because he created it, the one who knows what makes you tick and laugh and cry and yell and rest. It is I, it's me. So don't be afraid. With courage mustered up beyond what you think possible, with knowing, or at least wanting to know, that it is I, don't be afraid, beloved ones. Troubles and sorrows will find us all. Even as they flood the world and swamp the boat, God, though, is not distant. Christ is passing by, revealing who he is, elusively showcasing a lingering kingdom presence that is enough to go on. And Christ, by choice, climbs aboard whatever topsy-turvy ship you and we find ourselves in. Though this walking on water miracle does not guarantee faith or the calming of the seas, we are promised, once again, that God in Christ is with us. So reach out and touch the edge of the cloak. Let the hardness of your heart thaw. Let it soften. That is what faith feels like. Don't be afraid. Jesus, the walking one, the risen one, is mighty to save, mighty to heal, whether on land or sea, making creation whole by his divinity and his humanity. Thanks be to God. And together, friends, we say or we type, amen. Let's stand and worship together.
Everyone needs compassion, a love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a stranger, the hope of nations. Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save, he is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation, he rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. So take me as you find me, all my fears and failures. Fill my life again. I give my life to follow everything I believe in. Now I surrender. Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation, he rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King, Jesus. Shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, offer of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Let's be seated.
Our friend, our brother Jesse, has come to give testimony that's been on his heart for a little bit, and we want to honor him today and listen with all of our beings to the testimony that he's going to share. After that, we'll continue this tangible testimony by eating the bread and drinking from the cup together.
Good morning. How y'all doing? Earlier this week, I met this young lady. Well, I met two young ladies. One from the news station that, you know, recognized at Walmart, and the other one I was talking to, I was a minister to, and I was telling her about the Word of God. And the lady said at the news station, she said, "What church you go to?" I say, "Well, I go to Southwest Central, you know, Church of Christ, right down the street." And so this other lady, she's our mail carrier. So we was talking about the Word of God, and she said, "You know they still ain't open our church?" And then so I said, "What church you go to?" She said, "Windsor Village." I say, "Well, you know what? I say God is in control." And so the last couple of weeks, when Pastor went here, I love the way Jessica preached. I love the way, don't get me wrong, I love everybody preach, you know. I'm just picking out the women's, you know. But I love the way they break it down. I love the way they preach, because when I was growing up, you know, my mother and my grandmother and my auntie, I put it like this, the woman was the background of our family. And so, you know, she always say, when something was going wrong, my mother said, "Lord, I stretch my hand at thee, ain't no other God besides you," you know. And, you know, that's when we was eating bread and water, mayonnaise or whatever, you know. But I understand the principle, what they went through. And it's time for us to, you know, teach the young people about the Word of God and salvation, because it is real. And I always put stuff on my Facebook page. I say, don't forget to remember that Jesus is your Lord and Savior. You know, salvation is free, you know. And the church that I go to, I say they will welcome you with open arms. I say, so don't be ashamed. So I told the young lady, and I told the news lady, she just stopped doing what she was doing. And I say, okay, I'm thinking she up there, you know, bamming the store or something. And so she say, "What's your name?" I say, "Jesse Marvell Gay." And then so they say, "Okay." I say, "But they call me Goody Goo," you know. And I said, "But don't use that," you know. And then so she was asking me, she say, "Well, y'all be on Facebook every Sunday?" I say, "Yes." I say, "Just download Southwest Central Church, you know, Christ, and y'all will have a blast." I say, "You know what?" I say, "Because God is for real." I say, "The pastor, his wife," I say, "everybody in the congregation, they open you with open arms." I say, "Because you know what?" I say, "Because when we was on prayer phone this week, I say, God, I say, you know, you call out to God." And I told Miss Mercy and Miss Ruth and everybody, I say, "Well, I ain't gonna be able to make it. I just came from the doctor's office," which was good news. And so I was so tired that I called Miss Mercy, and Miss Mercy said, And then I said, "Now I'm here because I cannot miss prayer. I love the Word of God." And God is so wonderful and powerful. Well, you know, just like Pastor preached, you know, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I would be made well. I touch the hem of his garment every day. You know, I get in my room, spread it out, I say, okay, I don't want to be bothered. And it's thanks to people like you that got me back, you know, on track, because I was lost. But I thank my sister and I thank everybody in Christ for guiding me back. This is a wonderful and blessed church. And anybody who walked through the threshold, that's me in the door, they're going to get the welcome that they're supposed to receive. Because don't nobody criticize nobody. Don't nobody talk behind nobody's back. It's just a wonderful atmosphere. And I told the young lady, the male lady, I said, well, you need to come, you know, to our church. I say, since, you know, your church is closed. And then she told me a story. She said, I wasn't going to church, but my auntie told me, just try it one time. And she said when she stepped in the church at Windsor Village, she said, I love it. Then that's when the Holy Spirit came on me. I said, you know God called you? And then that's when the enemy came in, which was a next door nosy neighbor. God forgive me for saying it. And then so we ain't finished the conversation. So I said, okay. But the point I'm making is, you know, you, and I was telling her about the cards. I said, you come to this church, just find you something to do in the Word of God, because the Word of God is real. I say, you know, it says like that is in the Word. Your mouth is the powerful weapon. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. So whatever you speak on your body, whatever you speak, come out. So don't speak no negativity. Always speak praises for this church. I always speak praises for my family and for the family that I have here. See, I got a second chance. I got a secondary family, you know, because what I went through. And this is my secondary family. And I love it because I can go home and I say, okay. And when you're depressed, don't get depressed. Grab that Bible, go in a closet like I used to, and say, God, you know what? I give everything to you. Because, you know, I like the way Pastor, and I like the way everybody break, you know, the message down. You know, because they break it down where you can understand the Word. And so that's what I like about this church, because it's got everything you need, you know. So I just want to close with that, and y'all be obedient, because the Word of God says, if you're willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. So this church right here is willing and they obedient, and trust me, we are eating the good of the land. Amen.
Thanks, Jesse. Jesse tosses so many kingdom seeds out there, and who knows what God will decide to do with those. Jesse, thanks for speaking a word that's on your heart today. It's an open microphone, so testimonies are always welcome. Let's pray together in just a bit, and we're going to share communion together, the bread and the cup. If you would like to help me serve both of these things today, you can do so right after I pray. Here's some hand sanitizer, and you can come up and help serve the congregation today. Let's do that. Let's pray first, and then we'll eat and drink together. We give you thanks for people like Jesse, who always has your word at the tips of their tongues. Thanks for that. May we learn a little something about that ourselves. Thanks for the words that go into our ears, not only through Jesse, but ways that you continue to speak to us day by day. And now you speak to us through simple bread and simple juice, which is Christ's body and which is Christ's blood. We give you thanks for both these things. And it's through Christ we pray. Amen.
I've forgotten the words that you have spoken. Promises that burn within my heart have now grown dim. With a doubting heart I follow the paths of earthly wisdom. Forgive me for my unbelief. Renew the fire again. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy on me. I have built an altar where I worship things of man. I have taken journeys that have drawn me far from you. Now I am returning to your mercies ever-flowing. Pardon my transgressions. Help me love you again. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy on me.
We also have a chance to give, and you can give your money, your time, your efforts, in all sorts of ways right now. We are going to pass around these offering plates to give money. If you want to put something in a plate today, that's great. Thank you for doing that. You can also give online or drop it by the office, put it in the mail. We will use it however you give it, and as always, we give you thanks for that. These guys are going to come and take an offering plate and walk around right after I pray. All that we have is yours, O God. We give you thanks, and we share with others what we do have, which you have graciously given to us. We pray that you would bless not only the gifts, but the givers. This is our prayer today in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, two quick family matters to share with you, and then Dee Pipes is going to come and talk about the budget for a little bit before we're sent out in a benediction. You see the overflowing barrel out in the lobby. So many of you have brought a couple of these items: toilet paper, napkins, floor cleaners, cereals. Sunny Glen Children's Home will swing by our building in just a couple of weeks. Thanks to those of you who have given, and you got a couple more weeks to do so if you haven't yet. And of course, we have Bible classes today all over this building, and we definitely encourage you to stick around and be part of one of these today. All right, Dee? Dee, do you want me to click through the slides, or you got it? I will click. You just tell me.
This discussion will be separate and apart. You know what we used to say before we led into the collection. I'm going to talk about our giving, our budget, and the alignment or the misalignment of those two numbers. When I was first baptized and was going to church, I grew up Methodist, going to church with Brian, he taught me something very important about being Church of Christ. Perhaps you've seen, here's the church, here is the steeple. Open it up and see all the people. And Brian said, no, that's not right. The church building is just that. It's a building. We are the church. And church is a voluntary organization. Jesus voluntarily gave up his life. We voluntarily take on the gift of his salvation. We each have our walk with Jesus, and this hearing through, listening through Mark is about our relationship with Jesus. And on the next slide you see, this is our mission statement, and we, the church that meets here at 4011 West Belfort, take it seriously. As God has loved us, we will meet people on common ground and journey together to the higher ground of life in Christ Jesus our Lord. This church has honored by choosing me an elder of this congregation. Thank you. In doing so, I have also become a member of the board of directors for, the next slide, the 501c3 organization that we are. Remember, this is separate and apart. My next discussion is going to be about some maybe accounting, legal sorts of things that apply to the 501c3 portion of it. Looking at these numbers, this is our year-to-date planned giving. That was our budget. The actual giving, the total designated gifts, and the total combined gifts. No one can say we are not a giving, generous contribution. I am not saying that. It's that total designated gifts that we want to talk about a little bit. Used to, I would see the, would you go back a slide? And I was waving my hands around and you thought I was waving them at you. I'm sorry. So used to, I would look at the total combined gifts and the year-to-date planned giving, and in my mind, I would say, well, we're okay. Let me tell you how it works and how we're not. We're mostly okay, but how that is not the right way to think about it. Let's say you gave $100, put a check in the collection plate, and it said for Reggie Hiller. What do you think happens to that gift? It goes to Reggie Heller. We are focused on that. Special gifts, the designated gifts, need to be above and beyond your ordinary giving. So mission love offerings, we tell you it's going to the missionaries, and it goes to the missionaries. The BIM Super Bowl of Caring, the same thing is true. Now, sometimes in the past, we have gotten a little confused about that, and we do, I can imagine that the people in New Orleans, someone we know, may need hurricane relief. And in the past, we did hurricane relief for Michael, for Katrina, for this. And we have wised up a little bit about that. And now, when we hear of a need due to Hurricane Ida, we have a general disaster fund, money that is set aside that's designated for that. But for the most part, the funds that you give that are earmarked, that are said to be special funds, that are not your general collection, go and wait there till that can be used. Okay, it's not like we're slow or anything. Okay, so now when we look at the next slide, the planned giving, that's our budget number, and the actual giving for the general budget, we're behind by, let's say, $22,000. What does that mean for the next couple of months? Because everyone's remembering that our budget year is October 1 to September 30th. Well, we're not going to adjust the budget any for that. What does it mean for next year? Well, next year's budget is going to look, the 21-22 budget is going to look a lot like the 2021 budget, because not a lot of things have changed in a big way. But I want to ask you to be very mindful that when you give special funds, when you say these funds are for these people, then our 501c3 charter, nature, legal requirements accounting practices say, we are going to do our very best to get them only to that purpose. And that's leaving us from a very generous congregation in a bit of a hole. We have some savings. It's the leftover from the Cora Mae Perry gift a long, long time ago. The amount that the general giving does not meet for the budget, we will be able to cover. But we can't keep on going like this. So thank you very much. And anyone want to talk more details about the budget, about the special giving, about how that works? I am happy to do that. If you have other general questions, you can come to me, to Larry, or to Brent. Thank you very much for all the work you do, all the giving, like for Sunny Glen, that's above and beyond that you do. Thank you.
Let's stand, please, as we are sent out of this room and into our classrooms and then out into the world. Regarding our budget, whatever is going to happen to this building and church, in your own lives, in all the turmoils that we see all over this planet, hear the word of God once more. Immediately, Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." Then Jesus climbed into the boat with them, and the wind died down, and they were completely amazed. Go forth in faith and trust this week. Amen.